The death toll from a military crackdown in Sudan has risen to at least 100 now and is expected to continue to rise. Hundreds more have been injured. Security forces opened fire on protesters in the capital Khartoum on Monday after they rejected a plan by Sudanese military leaders to hold elections within 9 months. But the protesters have vowed to push ahead with a civil disobedience campaign to force the military from power. The bloody crackdown has drawn international condemnation, but China and Russia are blocking a UN Security Council bid to condemn the killing of civilians. Jill Lusk is a journalist and a longtime Sudan expert. She joins me from London. Jill, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning.
The protesters in Sudan are describing this crackdown by the security forces as a massacre. 40 bodies have been pulled from the Nile. That's brought the death toll from the last week to 100. Why did the security forces open fire on the protesters on Monday?
Well, I think because they'd been ordered to. I mean, a lot of people are talking as if this was just a paramilitary group who are undisciplined, but in fact, they're clearly operating under orders, so they are very undisciplined. They've been told to do what they like, and they're doing it. There's been rape, there's been whipping, there's a lot of video clips circulating of, you know, people just walking innocently down the street and suddenly finding themselves being whipped and in some cases shot.
But why? What's changed? I mean, I think the last time I reported on this a few weeks ago, it was after the former president, Omar al-Bashir, was overthrown by the military amid pressure from these very protesters. And the generals seem to be talking with the protesters, agreeing on a transition plan. What's changed?
They were negotiating, but people kept warning that these generals, after all, represent the old regime. It's not just that they represent the military, but the Islamist military-based government and very corrupt government that has ruled for 30 years. I mean, such a government doesn't give up easily, and they've shown that they're not going to.
What was the plan? The original plan from the General's Council was the something called the Transitional Military Council. That was a three-year transition. The protesters in the end said, no, that's too long. They wanted something to happen more quickly. Where had the talks got to before, and what was the point they broke down? Can you fill us in on that?
Yes. Well, the Transitional Military Council is what the military group that replaced President Omar al-Bashir calls itself. And they wanted to stay in control, basically, and because they represent the old government. So the issue at stake was something called the Sovereignty Council, which they wanted to control, which would be kind of like the body presiding over the whole government, which could ultimately make the decisions.
And that was supposed to culminate in elections, wasn't it?
Well, yes, but the protesters didn't want elections for 3 years because they think that it would take that long to sort things out.
Right.
And most people, you know, agree with that. The government called, which is the government, in fact, called for it within 9 months. First they said 3 months, then they said 9 months, which is just unrealistic. In it, you could not have free and fair elections within 9 months. That's very clear. So, in other words, it was a bid for them to stay in power, and the protesters refused. And that's when they said, OK, we're not talking anymore, and started shooting.
So the military leaders say they've decided to stop negotiating with the protesters. What's the step between stopping negotiating and starting shooting? Is this simply a bid to scare people back into acquiescence to get those protesters off the streets?
Well, yes, to get them off the streets, which has worked. I mean, they say the capital, Khartoum, is now a ghost town because people have just been shot dead, walking down the street innocently, perhaps going to the shop or something. So, you know, it's really not safe to go out. But the crunch will come next week because the protesters have called a general strike. And, of course, if the government wants them to go to work, well, then they'll have to go out. And if they go out to work, then, you know, they may get shot at. So there's really something has got to happen before then. It's not clear what, because the military government is getting support from Russia and China, as you said, Russia came in very quickly to back it. But the ones who came in even more quickly were Saudi Arabia, Egypt and the United Arab Emirates. And, of course, these are Western allies. So, yes. So it's complicated.
So why have, for instance, let's start with Russia and China, why have they rushed in to support the generals? What's their interest in Sudan? Not to mention, as you say, the Western allies like the Saudis and Egypt. To some degree.
Well, I was discussing that with a Sudanese friend who said, well, China wants its money back because they want to keep the army in because the army owes it so much money, was his argument. I mean, there is huge military trade between China and the previous government or with the continuing previous government in Sudan. That's also true of Russia. Russia is at the moment indulging in a great sort of penetration into Africa. It's very busy in the neighbouring Central African Republic, where it's just signed a defence agreement. It's quite active, so presumably it's related to that. And also, of course, to spite the West, which Russia isn't particularly friendly with at the moment, as we know.
But what about the Saudis?
The Saudis, well, Sudan has been the main contributor to Saudi forces fighting in Yemen. They provided the cannon fodder. And a lot of these are child soldiers, by the way. And they're 16, 17, maybe even younger than 16. And, they're just being sent to die in Yemen on behalf of Saudi Arabia. So Saudi's been quite counting on them. I don't think it could supply those kind of troops.
So this is Saudi supporting the generals, so that keeps flowing. Just finally, Jill, yes. I mean, you've talked about the horrors of the last few days. There are reports the military is ordering hospitals to evict all the wounded protesters, which is a sign that the generals aren't backing down. How bad do you think this is likely to get?
It could get a lot worse. I mean, the problem is that the West is, I'm calling it the West, but, you know, I'm talking about America,
the US.
Basically. And so, yeah, and, certain European countries, mm-hmm. at least, certainly Britain, they've spoken out very strongly, which is good. But are they actually going to do anything? They're certainly not going to invade militarily, everybody assumes that anyway, but are they going to use sanctions, other kinds of leverage? Because that's really all they've got now. And I think the generals in Khartoum, who after all have, some of them have been there 30 years themselves, they think they can sit it out because they've got nothing to lose. They know that, you know, they're going to be at the very best tried for murder and genocide if civilians come to power in Sudan.
Right.
So genocide in Darfur, I'm talking about there,
yeah.
Really. Really they've got nothing to lose. I think they'll fight.
What a terrible situation. Jill, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jill Lusk is a journalist and longtime Sudan expert.